Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart, and yes, I'm wearing the same outfit 2 weeks in a row. This is our second episode from our Dallas Fan Expo weekend. I was lucky enough, thanks to our sponsors, to go visit Fan Expo in Dallas, take a film crew up there, get to sit down with Meredith and Oscar, Kate Flannery and Oscar Nunez from The Office, and talk about the show, talk about the legacy, have a few drinks with them, some old vintage bottles, and just kind of connect. And it was kept a little short. I know that they're busy at these things. I don't want to hold them down too much. So it was just an awesome experience. I got to have a great conversation with them both. So this week's episode is Oscar Nunez and Kate Flannery from The Office. And let's get to paying those bills. Whiskey Neat is brought to you in part by Allegiant Bourbon, a first-of-its-kind super premium bourbon that melds Kentucky. Guys, you know how I feel about Legion. They've been a sponsor of the show for the last couple of months. I'm a huge fan of theirs. It's an approachable, affordable, solid bourbon. There's literally nothing to take issue with. It's a great, awesome project, blending both Japanese blending excellence and, of course, Kentucky distilling perfection. They've been a sponsor for a while, and I'm a big fan. So you can always get a bottle of Legion at drizzly.com, drizly.com. And of course, drink smart, drink responsible. This week's episode is also brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. They are reviving the tradition. I talk about it every week, of Maryland style rye. Sagamore has been, I've been working with their team, both BT, both April, Tim, the entire Sagamore team has been a big believer of me, a big believer in the show, and they've been very, very supportive. I'm a huge fan, so shout out to Sagamore. It's Maryland style rye. Two different mash bills blended together, aged. I mean, they're doing everything possible to present to you a solid rye product. And I got news for you. We're working on something really special, a statewide. I can't get into details yet, but it's a statewide exclusive. I'm excited to see what happens. So big fan of theirs. You can pick up a bottle of Sagamore at your local retailer. And, of course, as always, drink responsibly. Last but not least, Glass Rev. I've talked about them every week. Raj, Jane, and Bill, the original Dram Hunters, have opened up Dram Hunters, their Dram Hunter program, to the public. It's available online at glassrev.com. Click on the top bar, mention that you heard about it from me at Whiskey Neat, and they will set aside a special bottling of Murray McDavid just for those who mention the show. Just for those who mention the show. Dram Hunters. Go to glassrev.com. That is glassrev.com and become a Dram Hunter today. Look, guys, without further ado, please welcome Kate Flannery and Oscar Nunez of The Office. Cheers. I've been fans of both of you for quite some time, but I actually, you know, in preparation, I get to dive a little deeper.
Okay.
And I hear things in other interviews, and I'm like, oh, man, this is... You get to know you guys a little bit better, right? The whole hero worship thing. I wanted to ask this question and get this out of the way at the top. You guys, do you remember the first thing that you filmed, that maybe your first credit, that what year that was that you filmed it? And don't say it out loud yet.
Okay.
Say it at the same time, because I have a feeling it was the same year.
Wait, let me... But
the very first... Okay, that we got credited.
Oh, gosh.
Well, because I filmed things before
that
I was credited.
That we got credited.
So I feel like that...
Okay.
That made a difference.
Hold on.
Maybe horrible question?
No, it's just complicated because now I can't remember what the.
So I went back to y'all's
yes.
IMDb pages, and there was quite a bit of stuff.
I know the first IMDb thing.
Okay, hold on.
I did stuff before that, but
hold on.
It was not necessarily on IMDb.
Okay, I have one. I don't know if it's real.
I do too.
All right, ready, set, what year? Ready, set, go.
86.
Oh, really?
97, and it was It Can't Stop Dancing, but it was really Trick because I shot Trick before that, but they both came out the same year.
Yeah, see, and I know that sometimes things come out in the wrong order.
Yes.
But I went back and I was like, you guys both have credits around 98 or 99 to 98-99.
Right.
And you guys see the very first day that y'all auditioned, you have the call sheet framed. You were both there.
Yes.
And you guys got it together. Like you guys have been on this path.
Strangely,
like quite a bit, and I just thought it was interesting because there's obviously all these relationships that developed, but you guys really have been on the same path this whole way.
Well, sure. We both were in comedy, like you were at the Groundlings, and I was at Second City. Like we had a lot of parallels because they're like these institutional comedy places where you learn your craft, and if you're lucky, you get to still get to do this because there's still a lot of funny people that go through there. But
And Kate. And Leslie David Baker and I are on the same call sheet, which is really cool.
We are.
And he said that he had given y'all each a copy of that call sheet, but you have the original framed at your house.
I have the original, but I made copies for them.
Who do you have to blow to get the original?
Because it's a special.
I'm just kidding. I don't need it that badly.
It wasn't in fashion.
You're like a brother to me, Oscar.
Fashion wasn't blowing.
I got myself in trouble. Kate, I blame
you already know. Already, Ryan. You've gone down a road of a ride.
Yes, I'm sorry. I blame
Kate and I. Yes. Are we on? We started. Kate and I.
We walked in the door.
Became such fast friends.
We did.
We're cut from the same cloth.
We kind of had a silent language.
I'm from Philly. She's from Jersey. Reverse
I'm
that.
I'm from Philly. He's from Jersey.
And put it in a sock.
It is. And, I'm telling you.
And it's the same thing.
1947.
And we had
41.
41. Oh, gosh. That was the year my dad graduated from high school.
It was the year that we got into the war. World
right.
War II, yeah.
And my dad was a prisoner of war for over a year. That's a whole other reason
was
to drink,
really?
You guys. But he's still here.
And
so
he's still with us.
Still, yeah. Joe? To Tom Flannery.
Tom Flannery.
He owned a bar, Tom Flannery's Tavern.
I got that down, too. I thought it was interesting because I wanted to ask. I know that Meredith was the drinker. Mm-hmm. Your dad owned the bar.
Yes.
Was that a big part of the family dynamic?
Absolutely. Still is. No, I mean, I'm a bar owner's granddaughter, a bar owner's daughter, and a bar owner's sister. So, yeah, it's,
My mom owned a bar. Obviously, and I do the show here, too, so it's like...
Where's your mom's bar?
It was in good old Pasadena, Texas.
Hey!
Not too far. I mean, it's, California's got your Pasadena. Our Pasadena's not in as nice a shape as your Pasadena.
I think I want to hang out in your Pasadena before the California one.
Cut-off jeans are still in style there.
Right? Hey, my era.
Men's cut-off jeans.
Okay.
If I may, you guys, with the frivolity, let's take a moment. Kate's father is a freaking war hero, as is anyone who fought that. And so he's old school. So he, in his bar, it's like a film. It's like a, and so there's characters and there's men who were shell-shocked or whatever, and he would take care of them.
He had the rooms above the bar. If they couldn't work, he would let them. If they couldn't pay rent, he'd let them work it off. So we always had a lot of alcoholics.
And he'd pay them.
Cutting the grass or peeling
potatoes.
Up a shelf
like a safe house.
Yeah, sort of. He had his own version of it. Yeah, a lot of guys that worked there. Yeah. One guy literally broke into the back of my dad's station wagon and fell asleep. My dad found him and gave him a job and a place to live for the next 30 years.
Oh, that means your dad had a big heart.
Oh, yeah.
What did the
Still
thing,
does.
What was it what, with the paper bag and the money? He had something with the money.
Oh, something he would leave a test. Whenever a new guy worked for him or moved in, he'd like a pile of money, like a small pile of money on the bar.
Just a test?
Yeah, and then he'd have a bottle that he would mark, and then he'd leave, and then he'd find out what their character was. So usually the booze was down a little bit. The money was there, so it's all good.
It's a good trade-off.
It's like a biblical.
The booze is watered down.
He passed the test.
My stepfather growing up did the same thing with quarters.
Oh, interesting.
He would leave piles of quarters out.
Little test.
And if the kids took the quarters, and I took quite a few quarters back then, big ol' ass whooping.
There you go.
So
there you
it was
go.
A huge thing. So I wanted to, one of the things that you guys get asked about a lot, which by the way, let me ask that. Is there a specific question you guys get asked a lot that you're so tired of answering?
Who was
that
funniest
one.
On set?
That one. See what I did? It's very meta.
Yes, that's true. Question. That question is true. That's true.
Oh, wow. Really bugs us.
Yeah. No.
Oh, wow.
No, go ahead, Kat. I interrupted
you. No. It's the same. It's the same ones. It's like, what was your favorite scene? What was your favorite episode? God, who was funniest on set?
Who's funny? What's your favorite scene? Are you doing? Is it coming back?
If you could be any other character, is it coming back?
Is the show coming
back? Who is your favorite character other than you?
I heard
is the show coming back?
Interviews that y'all did separately where the same question was asked. why do you think we can't do the show today? And I actually had an answer to this. Both of y'all said, I don't know. I don't know yeah. why it is we feel like we can't. Because the show's more popular now
right.
than it was then, which is also a bit mind-blowing. If you can't do it today, why is it so popular? That kind of tends to contradict itself. I had a thought about this that I don't think has ever been discussed, but Michael Scott, Michael Scott is what the average, the problem we're facing now, like with COVID or with politics or where everyone feels they're an expert. Michael Scott was that guy.
Sure, totally.
But yeah. lovable, right? Like
sure.
there was this thing
sure.
where Michael Scott knew everything, had an answer to everything, was slightly inadvertently racist or inadvertently insensitive. There's a lot of people like that nowadays that really sums up.
But he's not lovable. You would feel sorry for him. You would hate him, and then you'd feel sorry for him because it was just awful what was happening to him, which he made happen to himself.
Sure.
And then you'd feel sorry for him and go, oh, he's okay. And then he'd do something awful, and you're like, no, why did I let it, you know? And you would
give him another chance.
You would give him a chance, and then would start again every
time. Right.
Every time.
It's so complicated.
This is a, I'm going to pass on this.
Sure.
Let me have, try when,
her birthday?
When the birthday girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this, she said, I don't think, this is a little too harsh.
Yeah, it's okay. It's high proof stuff.
It's high proof stuff.
And what I tell people is to sip smaller and smaller. That's why we sip on the show.
I sipped a little sick, but I'm good. I'm going to go on to
sips and sips. But this was bottled the year you were born.
Wow.
So everything you've accomplished. And I was looking one for you, but I couldn't get it in time.
You can't. They didn't have bottles. The glass was not. The Egyptians had not ground the sand into the...
So everything you've achieved, a little time capsule, if I can get it open.
Oh my gosh.
You mean that's not even open yet?
Oh, it's not even open.
Wow,
oh,
dear God. He's christening the
bottle. Well, this one
was we have to take a sip of this.
I know, but what do I do? Is there a spit bucket?
You just leave it there. Okay. I'll give you a second glass. Okay. We've got more glasses here.
Glass number two. We can only stay for a few. I can't party with you. I couldn't
that's
possibly.
Okay.
I couldn't possibly. Okay.
Yeah, the
these bits are all tried and true.
Right.
Flannery, she will not do a bit that's earlier than 1965. It's got to be 65 or older.
Yeah, so these can be quite hard to track
this
down. I nailed it though. I found it.
Right.
It's yeah. God, she's pretty.
It's old granddad.
Old granddad. See, we used to have some paraphernalia, like we would have trays or like pitchers around the house from a lot of the booze distributors. So we had old granddad. I think like an old granddad clock or something.
Yeah, it's iconic. Yeah, back then they used to, so whiskey wouldn't sell that well, and they would make more than they can get through. So they put it, made it collectible.
Yes.
Right? Decanters, Beanie Babies. And before Beanie Babies, you had
Booze Babies.
Booze Babies.
Right?
Hey. And memorabilia. They made it as commemorative as possible.
It's so true. Yeah, I think I still have a Liberty Bell whiskey decanter. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. And it makes you correct. You know what I'm saying? This thing
there's no promise it's good.
Okay.
It's old, so.
It's old.
It smells different.
It's got kind of a mothball, closety grandmother smell.
Yes, it does. Sorry, I think that's me.
one of the things I did want to ask you is, smaller sips. Smaller sips.
It has to be.
It has to be nips.
Okay.
It has to be sips because it's, you know
I'm
what?
I sniff during it.
Creed and I have been trying once a month. I think
you have been trying your
Japanese
entire lives.
Japanese.
It's very popular.
So good.
Sake? Oh no, Japanese whiskey.
Japanese whiskey. Yeah,
oh,
they do a lot of Mizunura oak stuff.
They don't mess around. Boy, when they do
nice.
Something.
Nice. I have not.
Whether they're invading a bay or making whiskey, the Japanese
World
in my
War,
book.
What?
Why? Why are we keep going back to World War II? You know why? Because we're drinking old.
We're drinking old. It's like
everything. Like we're not staying. We're only taking a couple.
And I think you're actually turning gray as we're sitting
everything
here. And so
has
am I.
To, we have to give a nod. This
the carpet doesn't
is, this should
the
have stayed in the bottle.
It should, right. But you know, sometimes.
Oh
is,
my God. This what is, a smell. It, it what is, a, it what is a weird.
Arts.
This is a weird time machine.
Library.
Yeah,
old books.
Yeah,
old books.
Totally,
and it's not bad. It's still drinkable.
It's very drinkable. In fact, these are very tradable in the world of whiskey.
I bet
people go nuts for this
oh
stuff.
My God, sorry. Sorry.
So this
okay.
is
going off. My
inner
alarm is going off.
It's
this.
Year,
this
is 1952.
This is the 52. I wasn't born
Say
in 52. I was born in 64.
64, 65.
I only feel like
if
I'm
if it's
older.
Not a 52, then someone's lying about something. And I kid out of love because she's my friend and we're allowed to
and he's older than
kid
I am.
About and I'm older
right.
than she is.
There you go. But not more mature.
You got me.
Neither one of us are mature.
You're right on two on both points.
There you go. When you're right, you're right.
We'll
when
drink
you're wrong,
to that.
You're right.
Finally. Oh, you guys Ooh. Also, I left one part off. You guys Please. Also quit your day job at the same day.
We did.
I mean,
we did.
I went back. I was like, what? They auditioned the same day. They quit their day job from between season one and season
you
two.
You just gave me an idea. And if we had time and had known about this, we should have set it up where I go to your job and I go, she fucking quits. And you should have gone to my job and go, he fucking.
Absolutely.
You know what her manager told her when she quit?
It's not going to last.
No, let's say it. One, two, three. Okay. You'll be back. What a shit thing to do. Yeah. So we had him murdered. Because we make that kind of money.
Yes, and we're actually the Scranton Strangler.
We've got great alibis.
Both of us.
We've got
Meredith
great alibis. And they're fucking covered.
And Oscar.
Don't do murdering yourself. The old-fashioned OJ way.
Strangers
Hire
on a train
someone.
Way. It's, if you look it up, it's
I
an
threw
Alfred
OJ
Hitchcock
under
film.
The bus because it's time.
Strangers on a train, yeah.
You know what I mean. Yes, they swap murders.
I threw
so they swap people. They hit. Okay.
In the spirit of Norm MacDonald, I threw OJ. I did an OJ murder joke.
One of the greatest.
He's so alive.
I told... This is. I love my wife. We've been together 15 years. But
well, congratulations.
Thank you.
They
tried.
Said I lost $20. I thought you guys were going to break up 5 years ago.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Sorry.
I tried real hard to explain the professor of logic joke from Norm. If I don't know if you ever heard, but it's one of the greatest. And my wife's like, it went on too long. I'm like, that's the joke.
The whole
that's the joke.
Here's one that doesn't go on too long, and it's not. You know, he said a lot of this one is not controversial, because it's not making fun of. It's just a funny joke. There's two gay roommates, and one guy says to the other guy, listen, let's play hide and go seek. I'm going to hide first, but if you find me, you get to fuck me up the ass. I'm behind the couch.
God, Norm MacDonald was one of the classics. I didn't even expect to talk about him this weekend, but I'm glad you guys are fans. He's a he's a great guy, absolutely. So I did wanted to, you tell a great story.
I'm behind the couch.
You tell a great story, David, David Koechner jumps up from behind the couch. Is it David?
David.
He's here.
Drawing
he's here.
A
he's
Two
here.
Drinks. I did a show before this, so
I understand.
Couple more.
You gotta pace yourself, Chris. Come on. You're a professional.
You tell a story about going to Studio 54.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Here we go.
And you tell a story about some relatives that may or may not have sold some drugs to a famous artist.
How did you get this information?
This is unbelievable.
I am fans of you.
Wow.
There is another legendary person who is very well known for throwing parties, and I'm curious if there was ever an epic party within the office. Craig Robinson is apparently quite the...
Oh, yeah. Craig is not
hospitable.
Afraid of a party. He's awesome.
Not just a party. Like, he's hospitable. He thinks through it. He's accommodating. Like, he makes sure that you remember that party. Did you guys have, an epic...
We were never at Craig Robinson's place.
We
partied with him,
partied
but not at his place.
At that really...
The R Bar. Yeah. Oh, my God. In K-Town. Oh, my God. We had an epic night.
There's a bar
in
Koreatown.
A few
that
epic nights.
It's like you need a passport to get
you
in.
You need the passport. Yeah.
And Kate and it was just the three of us.
Yeah. And we had
we felt
like we were in the East Village in New York that night.
We had a fun
it was
time.
Like we were in our
But
in
I've
our
not
20s.
Been to one of his parties.
I have not either.
I think... We're too tame in his book.
Yeah,
I think
that
he has parties
that night
with
and
other
we disappointed
people
him.
Yes, that are not
we blew
in
it.
Our age bracket or people who can perhaps twerk better than we can.
Sure.
He parties and we would just be sticks in the mud in one of his parties,
and,
I think.
Yeah.
Which is true. If I was in my 20s and single and partying the way I used to party when I went to studio, he'd probably invite me because he's like, ask or we'll hold
his
intake of... Whatever there may be.
Right.
It would have been powdered,
confectionery.
Who knows?
I'm a shell of my former self, so I cannot keep up like
we would
I
not.
Used to.
We can't. Yeah, we wouldn't be able to keep up.
I'm 34, but even now I'm like, I'm going to bed at 9. I don't want to.
You're an old soul.
Four kids will age you quick.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So I've got a 15 and 16 year old daughter, and I especially nowadays, I constantly ask myself, what if they were doing what I'm doing at this? Like, I don't.
You have four kids.
15, 16-year-old teenage daughters, 4 and a 6-year-old, 4-year-old
I'll drink
boy.
To that.
That's good for you. We have an 8-year-old daughter, and I'm trying to adopt another one, and my wife is giving me a hard time, and I don't know what to do because I want to adopt another daughter. Mm-hmm. She's a 21-year-old supermodel. Now hear me out. She's falling on hard times.
What?
Legs from here to there and back again.
What?
My wife won't let me adopt her, and I'm like.
Check, please.
I think I saw that video.
Oh, this is free.
This is what the booze does.
right?
Literally a quarter ounce.
Literally.
I know, we just looked at the bottle and we got wasted.
It kicks in the Studio 54.
Literally just looked at it. And I'm like, bleh. Anyway, 1964.
Was there ever talk,
maybe
it's called a segue, of Parks and Rec and Office doing a crossover thing?
I don't know why we never did it, because I remember them coming to the set. I remember when Aziz and Aubrey came when they first started shooting the show and they came to visit our set.
Those two shows are compared more than any other show I can think of.
Well, you know, because Mike Schur was a writer on The Office, and then he and Greg Daniels both created, and Greg Daniels, of course, was the reason why the American version worked, because he was our showrunner, our leader, our master. So the two of them created Parks and Rec. So yeah, they were like, you know, same neighborhood, different block, you know.
I feel like you guys could have easily done something, maybe even just a Chris Pratt.
Totally.
You know, like a little segue thing.
Sure.
You know, just, or not a segue.
No, I know what you're saying. A little crossover.
Yeah. I know. And you guys
need a time machine.
Well, and I think someone's talked about you guys, and I know you mentioned getting asked about it a lot, about there being some sort of reunion type thing.
I don't have it on my schedule. No? I'm not the one saying no, so I don't know what's happening.
Because the Friends did it, and
they sure did.
And it kick-started. My wife and I started the show over again. We couldn't help
it. I know.
What did the Friends do? A whole season?
No, they just,
had a reunion special where they asked questions and they had a nice conversation and they basically said,
"Oh, it wasn't a show."
No, it was more like you remember back in the '90s they would do shows that were like clip shows,
sure,
like episodes would just be clips of old episodes.
Yeah.
They basically brought the cast back and did a Q&A, similar to what we're doing here. And then they showed clips, and then we started the show over. We couldn't help it. Like, it was such a big part of it.
And you just wanted to check to see how much plastic surgery they all had from the beginning.
I mean, it was amazing. I think
they look amazing. I shouldn't say that.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia pointed out that there's this thing that happens where in shows, in real life, we get fatter and older. You know, we look worse, but on sitcoms, they look more and more incredible as the show goes on.
Because the money, money comes in.
The money comes through. They want the
money. Poor when it starts, and then you're like,
Chandler season 7, Monica season 8. It's like, oh, you guys look amazing.
They look amazing. They
I
look
know,
amazing.
Right. Wow.
Did you watch Friends when it came out in real time?
I did.
You did, right?
I did.
I didn't.
But I didn't.
I think I'm not the demographic.
I think it's because I was waiting tables, but I didn't work Thursday nights, and they were on Thursday night. It was only because I had Thursday night off. Okay. I swear to God, that was it. Must see TV.
Last question. I won't keep you too long.
Yes.
What, I asked this question earlier to Ray Fisher. I talked to Adam Devine and Blake.
Let me pick up those names you just dropped.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
So I was talking to Matt McConaughey on my show earlier. And just kidding. Adam Devine and Blake Anderson said that they've had horror stories with fans. And I think it's different within the, like if you're like Zachary.
A douchebag? I'm just kidding.
No, Zachary Levi is like this sculpted sex symbol or women.
Women love, including myself.
It's tough for us. Yes, I get it. Zach and I, and we talk about it. We commiserate. We're like, dude. But it's what it is. And part of it's DNA.
What?
Part
What's happening?
Go ahead. Continue.
What horror stories? Have you guys had any like crazy fans?
Nothing too crazy.
But in a good way.
Yeah,
in a good, fun way.
It's all been love, right? Like, I mean, one of the things that I think you said in your interview with Brian. Oh God. What a difference Brian on as Kevin and Brian as a podcast
he's totally
host.
Different from his character.
But he asked you
he's acting, you guys. He's not Kevin
not really
at
Kevin.
All. Believe
he's
me, Brian Baumgartner is not Kevin.
So interesting. But he asked you what The Office meant to you, and almost the first thing you said was like love. It was one of the best moments,
the best 9 years of my life. I mean, not only was every person involved in it just really, I mean, pretty much every person was really lovely and really great at what they did. We were all so grateful because we all came out of nothing. No one knew who anybody was when we started that show. And I knew Steve in Chicago because we were at Second City at the same time. And he had like 7 pilots and like none of them went. And so the fact that this all worked out, I mean, you know, it's just like, there's this sense of gratitude. And then I also met my boyfriend on the show, who's an NBC photographer who worked on Friends and Seinfeld and like everything and I was 40 when I got The Office.
They're still together.
We've been together since we started dating at the end of season 2, and so we were kind of like Jim and Pam in a sense. So I feel like for me, I had great affection for every moment, and it was great to share it with somebody that I loved because he was so aware of what was going on every time too, and understood it even more than I did because he'd been in television so much longer than me.
And he understood from this side, right? Because when you're in the moment, it's like, you know, you hope it
totally
translates.
That's right.
But he used to hang out in the fake. Chris used to hang out in the fake men's room of in the kitchen at The Office. So I always knew where to find him. And you had to cut through the fake men's room to get to the real bathrooms. So sometimes people would open the door and we'd be there and be like, huh! You know, like, we're not on the toilet, like, relax.
So I mean, I agree. Love, paid in advance. And in full.
It's true.
Because we were getting paid well.
Well, that's, you love money. Is that the bottom line? Maybe.
Yeah, it was.
Well, and well, great comedy. Like, great comedy. Where you're like so proud of it.
Oh, you know, absolutely. You know.
But just to
unbearably funny.
To go back, happy to be in the background, like whatever it takes to be there, to witness and to be a part of it.
Yeah. To go back to what you were saying about like crazy fans, if there's one that comes around, I run to Kate, first person, to share with her. And they're not dangerous or anything. You're just like peculiar characters that you're just like, what just happened? And I always look for Kate.
It's true.
The last one we were talking about was in D.C. In D.C. and this woman came and she left my booth and I'm like, where's Kate? And I ran to, and I told her about it and I went to find the woman to bring her back to have a conversation. The stairs, but I couldn't find her.
I actually finished that. Sorry. I'll drink to that lady in D.C. Thank woo-hoo. You.
She had a beef that she was telling me about.
Oh my God. With how the show, like a character arc?
No. First of all, she wandered into my, where I was to sign. Looking around, and then she looks at me, she goes, what's this about?
She paid to get in the con, and she didn't even know what she was paying for.
And I'm like, oh, we have a winner.
Sure.
I'm like, I'm on a show, and it was a slow day, and she's like, what do you do? What is this? I'm like, you walked into my... And she was like in her 60s, and I'm like, ah. And then she starts talking, and she goes, I was late getting here because she got stuck on the doors of the train.
On the subway.
I can hear your voice.
She said... I got stuck in the door of the train. They only give you 3 seconds. 3 seconds. She goes, I need 10. I want 10. She wants there to be a countdown.
A countdown on the subway.
10, 9, before the doors close.
7.
So she doesn't get stuck in the doors. So she goes to me, I started a petition and I said, I signed it. She goes, you signed the petition? I said, I signed the petition. We need 10 seconds. She goes, we need 10 seconds. God, I kept her, you know.
This feels like a Seinfeld.
That was the fucking best. The best. And then she kept talking about Shatner and how she may have dated him. We were there quite a while. What stuck out was the petition to get 10 seconds because she wants 10 seconds to be called out in the subway so she has time so she won't get caught in the doors. And then, of course, she left and I'm like, I laughed and I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, I got to tell Kate. By the time I went to get her, she was gone.
She was gone with the wind.
Anyway.
Please come back.
So those are the people that we get who are eccentric.
There's also super smart kids who absorb every second. And they understand the subtleties of the show in a way that someone who's our age doesn't always get.
And
they appreciate like being treated like smart audience.
And
they don't tell you when to laugh.
There's people who are speechless. There's people who cry. People who are gay who are like, I came out because of you. I'm like, what? You're welcome, man. That's cool.
That's pretty awesome.
It's like crazy shit.
That is one of the things that couldn't happen now is the fact that you're not gay. Now it's a big push to that.
Sure.
That's probably something that might be more particular, but like.
And I'm not that drunk.
Yeah,
same thing.
No. What happened to my class?
Birthday booze.
That's one of the things, you know, you could take that with you.
No, I'm good.
I can't get
on the plane. I can't check my luggage.
That's right.
So busy.
Speaking of being busy,
yes.
I'll let you go.
Thank you so much for doing the show. Awesome. Thank you.
I appreciate it. You guys were great.
Thank you. Cheers, everybody.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.